We are back. Same time, new exciting name. Matty G came up with this name. I had nothing to do with it. It's far better than anything I could have come up with. The crossover, we will be touching on preseason reactions, overreactions, depending on how you view the preseason. We probably take it far too seriously. And we're going to talk about some draft strategy. Well, let's go balls deep. Let's get into the crossover. I don't know what I'm going to say.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the crossover brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International and Insight Fantasy Sports. I'm going to just bring Matty G back straight in. This is a lot of two people.
It is. I'm looking at the black square going, Jesus, we're standing on formality. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. Look, this is a show we did last season. I don't think we did it all year. I think we did it for a good chunk of the season, but I don't think it was the whole year. And during the season, we'll sort of return to that format of doing ADP battles, player battles, and that sort of thing. But at the moment, preseason is going on, so we're just going to touch on some reactions and overreactions, what we think, and talk a bit about draft strategy as well.
Look, I don't know about you, but I'm excited for some Josh Minow stock. Currently, preseason points leader. That's it. So I guess the first thing is, how much can we bear? How much can we trust in the preseason? How much reliance do you put on it, Kingy? Because I'm like not the staunchest advocate of believing the hype.
Look, I think it's for me, the probably the biggest takeaway for me is rotations. So I'm not really looking at production. I'm not really looking at you have cameras gone. Well, that's nice. While he fixes that up, I'll answer the question. So yeah, I have a look at rotations. So who's starting, who's coming off the bench, and obviously it's not necessarily an accurate reflection because other players might be out, and we'll get into that when we talk about the teams. So I don't really look at production. I just sort of look at maybe usage and where players are in the rotation. Who is going to start in some of those position battles, which we know there are quite a few this season coming into the to opening night. We've managed to get a few answers, but still not all the answers.
Correct. And if you do have a question, make sure you do drop it into the chat on either the Insight channel. We've got the FBI one on Twitter and YouTube as well. So if you do have a question about preseason and your draft rankings, throw it on out there to us. I guess I'm with you on that one, where I start to look at what trends are happening. And I look at things like, for instance, Max Christie. Now, it might be a name that no one's targeting come draft day, but I see Max Christie playing an average of 31.3 minutes a night, which tells me he actually is someone we really want to watch in the Lakers. In deeper formats, like in Ball Page, shout out to all those in our 20-man leagues, Australia and internationally wide, you're looking at 20-man leagues, like 10, 11 players deep. So you're looking at 200 guys. So this is where someone to have on your radar, like a Max Christie playing 31 minutes a night, getting the praise of JJ Redick, puts guys like this on the radar. But in other formats, 12 teams, King, you would never think about him being like someone you really want to target.
No, and I think, if you're sort of new to fantasy, it's not as easy. But if you've been playing and so you're obviously deep into fantasy last season, and a good example in my mind is Charlotte. So the end of last year, they were a mess. They had multiple injuries. They were rolling out lineups that we know we're not going to see most nights. We're not going to see that when they're healthy. So we knew LaMelo would be back. We knew he would impact playing time of guys like Trey Mann and Vasily Micic, who both were really good down the stretch last year. Yeah. Watching their preseason thus far, LaMelo, who's looked great, by the way, He's going to start. So it's where do these guys like Trey Mann and Vasily Micic fit in? And having watched them play, Trey Mann looks pretty good. Like, I think to me, just watching it and having a look at the box scores and the minutes, I think he could have a consistent role for him, where I'm not sure Micić will. I just don't think he looks a step slow. He just doesn't look like he's there. So that's obviously not going to impact standard fantasy leagues. But again, like you said, in deeper leagues, maybe you take Trey Mann with your last pick and he plays 22 minutes a night.
Look, and the thing is this, we're not going to bank on him. And again, it's the series, like, what are teams doing? Like, it's much to the Max Christie like point. Let's look at Charlotte and Saloon, their draft pick this year. Saloon. Saloon. I call him I call him the cowboy because he's an old Saloon. So I call him the cowboy. He's playing 23 minutes a night. That's a team high for them, shooting 500 from the field, shooting 583 from three. Now, he's not, you know, attempting that many out there. But you look at Trey Mann, conversely, Mann's out here hitting 650 from the field. That is not sustainable. He's hitting 429 from three. So, yeah, he's on an absolute scorcher right now. You know, he's getting 2.5 rebounds a game, three assists. But the lack of steals that are there in the preseason, you can expect to stick around in the season. So what are we looking at? We're looking at a really high scorer off the bench, one of these guys we can probably target late to get us some points, especially in deeper formats. Maybe some cheeky assists, by the way, out there. But he's a name that, yeah, you do start to get on the radar and where the minutes start to open up. Joshy Green, conversely, getting the start over in Charlotte the other day as well. So seeing him roll there is like, okay, Josh Green got the start. What's he going to do? Not a lot. Bit of a shame. But only 13 minutes a night. Probably can expect more from Joshy down the way.
Yeah, and he got injured in that second game. So I think he only played like 6 minutes or something. So, yeah, it looks like he's going to start and he'll provide some defense and stuff, but not a lot else. So we sort of thought we'll just go team by team very quickly. We don't want to sort of linger too long on any one team. But I don't know. We'll just go, through the Eastern Conference starting with the Celtics?
Sure. Do we want to do Atlanta? Do we want to go alphabetical, like through the whole thing?
We can go alphabetical. Absolutely. All right.
Let's go alphabetical, like the Hawks. Jalen Johnson is our wet dream, and now we're reconsidering our Jalen rankings. Maybe.
He's looked really good. I mean, we had him relatively high anyway. But Jalen Williams had probably just edged in front of him, and maybe now they've come back a little bit closer based on what we've seen. I thought Jalen Johnson's looked really good for me. I mean, obviously, the biggest rotation sort of discussion that or conversation I was looking at was who starts alongside Trey.
Dyson. I won the pool between Skitty and I.
Oh, good, very good. So he was not on Dyson, obviously.
No.
So Dyson started. I think he's looked really good, like as advertised, basically. Yeah. The question is Bogdanović hasn't played yet, I don't believe. So we're not sort of 100% sure that it is going to be Dyson Daniels, because if Bogdanović is healthy, does he start? So I'm really happy with what Dyson's done, but I'd still like to see what his role looks like. And the other one is center. And likewise, Okongwu hasn't played. So
correct.
Capella has started, but we don't know where Okongwu fits in that discussion. So,
and let's speak about the elephant in the room, or the Frenchman in the room, Richichet, number one pick of the draft. What do you do with the number one pick when you don't plan on starting him? You've got to look at the minutes you're giving him and showcase him. He's played 22 minutes a night right now in the game that he played. 18 points, three rebounds, two assists, not much else there. But look, he looked really comfortable out there. So we can probably expect him again, take a late round punt on Richichet. Why not? He looked like they're going to give him some minutes out there. And yeah, I think we love that one. Onto your Boston team. Did you want to do the Celtics? Don't they look bloody good?
Yeah, let's do Boston. Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot to talk about with Boston. Like they basically running it back. We know Porzingis is out, which is... And Horford, I mean, I've had at least two people message me and saying, oh, are we grabbing Cornette? No, we aren't. Horford's just, it's preseason. They're not going to start play Horford. Like, it's not like he needs to be ramped up or anything like that. They'll just plop him straight in the starting lineup opening night and he'll be absolutely fine.
100%.
So, yeah, I don't think there's really much for Boston. I mean,
I would say that yes, there is. Let's pay attention in deeper leagues to Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser.
These boys have
been cooking. I know it's always easy to get points and threes off, but to do it on the efficiency in the role, they've actually just looked comfortable in their roles in the team. And they were rolling them out there for pretty decent minutes as well. And so Tatum's form on his shot looked really healthy. Like he was taking 7 threes a game. He wants that. He was hitting 3 of them. So Tatum's reformed shot was something that I was paying attention to. I pay attention to Tatum because people are going to possibly have to invest a first round pick in him. So you should be watching the guys that you're going to put a heavy investment on like that. So yeah, I'm really into that one. So yeah, I'm curious. I'm putting Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser on my deep league radars.
Yeah, absolutely. Much like we did last season. And Drew Holiday, he'll miss a few games. Derek White, well, he might not. He's relatively durable. But there'll be periods where standard leagues, yes, but it's more for your deeper leagues. Preempting what we've done so far, I'm gonna propose we do the Eastern Conference tonight and the Western next week because
We'll take too long.
No way that we're gonna get through 32 teams.
No way. Tonight. Let's go Eastern Conference.
All right. Let's go to Brooklyn.
The game that was not televised by the NBA yesterday. And it was against the Clippers. That was more of an indictment on the Brooklyn Nets than what it was the Clippers, that they didn't even roll anybody out there with a camera to film this game.
You could watch it. I watched it. It was you had to pick the right stream. So there was a Clippers.
The Mexican stream?
No, it was a pretty dodgy stream, but there was one that you could pick. It was Clippers in arena something. There was no commentary. It was just the game. So watching the video of the game
Was it like the score, the new pretty scoreboard, like looking down?
No. It was normal sort of camera angle. Crazy. But the commentary or the only noise you could hear was the arena, in arena announcer. So the music playing, so it's like you were at the game. That was fine. Like it was better than nothing because I really just wanted to watch Ben Simmons see how he looked. I know numbers wise, he wasn't great, but I thought he looked okay. Like he looked healthy.
He
didn't appear to have any issues or setbacks. Offensively, he was sort of looking for his shot a little bit. He attempted a couple of mid-ranges as well, which was a good sign.
And you know that's reflected in the box score when Ben Simmons is shooting 200 from the field. You're like, oh, he's taking jumpers again.
Yeah.
Like you look at the box score, but he looked. You're right. He looked comfortable. Like he looked like he was moving fluidly, which was the big thing there. Clowney stock, where was that after yesterday for you? Because I know that he's been a name that's floated around a little bit.
Yeah, nothing really changed for me. I don't think. As a whole, I didn't think that there was much to take away from that game. I'm just going to pull up the box score again.
I just saw Schroeder out there doing Schroeder things. Cam Thomas as advertised, looking to score, stretching the floor a little bit. Love that. Jalen Wilson getting a bit of an extended run. I like that for them as well. And Keon Johnson getting some minutes I thought was a really interesting look as well. Just wanted to jack up the shot and prove that he was worth a role on this team. Curious to see where this goes because, there was no Claxton playing in this one. Cam Johnson, I like that he didn't play well because that means he's going to stick around those late 120s and might be a good pickup for your season. So I'm kind of also watched the guys that we invest in. We've just had a question there from Sean as well. Wemby's still number one. NICAD head to head. I have never said Sean that he is number one. I still like Jokic number one. But I do see Wemby as a number one as well. Like you could take either way. Where are you with that, Kingy?
Yeah, I'm on Wemby. So we had I think thus far I've only had the number one pick in one real draft this year, and that's the old man squad contributor league that I set up. So I got the number one pick and Dan Bespris got the number two pick. I took Wemby. I didn't hesitate. And I knew that Dan would prefer Wemby. I would prefer Jokic anyway. He's a Jokic over Wemby guy. And I mean, nothing I saw today deterred me really. Wemby's shot was pretty bad today, but it was also his first bad game. Last he had season. Blocks, he had assists, he had rebounds. Yep. He got to the line, he took threes. So I just like I can certainly see the case for Jokic over Wemby, but for me, just adding that fun element, I think Wemby is just going to be, assuming he stays healthy, a lot of fun. Yeah. And honestly, I'm going to be watching more Spurs games than Nuggets games this year. So,
100%.
Yeah, so that's, for me, I just like the excitement factor when it comes to Wemby. So, but yeah, jumping back to the Nets. So yeah, basically not a lot, but I thought Simmons didn't do anything to deter me from taking him as a last round guy.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. So
completely fine with that pick.
All right, Brooklyn. So who's after Brooklyn? Is it?
We've got Charlotte. We touched on them earlier. Yeah. It was just good to see Trey Mann prove himself. Definitely, they want to work Saloon, the cowboy, the old Saloon, yep. the whiskey and dry boy. They're going to work him into the rotation somewhere. And absolute pleasure. Sean, anytime, brother, just stop on through. Brandon Miller, again, this is, look, the performance from Brandon inefficient yesterday, we can see the potential for him and why that people want to take him. But this is, again, his stat line, his 4.5 rebounds a game over the 2.5 assists. The blocks, though, is what I really like from Brandon Miller. I don't know if 1.5 blocks a game is sustainable, but he's done that the last two. In fact, I'm 100% convinced it's not sustainable. But if he can get even one a game, 0.9 a game, he does add that level to his defensive game. Yeah, I can see why people are spending this pick. But again, buyer beware, the percentages from the field are going to hurt you there for Brandon Miller.
Yeah, I thought the first game he looked really good. And I think I popped this in my sort of nightly recap thing that he was actually handling the ball a little bit more than I thought. And LaMelo was playing off ball. So that's interesting if they're going to try and get the ball in his hands a little bit more. He looked confident on offense. So the fact that LaMelo was there didn't deter him from taking shots, which I think is a really good thing. But yeah, as I said, LaMelo, he's looked amazing. Miles Bridges looks like Miles Bridges. You know what you're going to get from him.
Loves working off him. Miles Bridges' comfort factor cannot be understated. Like, we can draft him more confidently when we see him playing beside LaMelo Ball. He is just so much more fluid in his game beside LaMelo. You see him more willing to stretch the floor, to spot up, to set screens, to pick and roll. His comfort is right there. So yeah. I'm actually probably more looking – every time I watch him play with LaMelo Ball, I'm thinking, what am I doing not drafting him confidently? So I like that from Bridges.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he'll sort of just slot right into where he was sort of 3 years ago when he was – a top 30 player, I think. I'm not saying he'll get to top 30, but I think he can push top 50. And then the only other thing was really with Mark Williams out, we don't know how long. Nick Richards makes sense as a last round. If you just need some boards, blocks. Last year he was a 12-team guy, so no reason to think he won't be again until Mark Williams is back.
100%. Chicago?
Chicago.
Kobe White, most improved player of the year again?
Yeah, look, maybe. I mean, it's for me probably the best part of what we've seen from Kobe White has been that he in his mind, I still think that he believes he is option one on offense, even with Zach LaVine there, even with Josh Giddey there. He's taking shots, he's attacking the basket, he's hitting threes. So it doesn't really change my opinion on him all too much, but it gives me more confidence with drafting him. The LaVine, on the other hand, hasn't looked great, but because I mean, I was sort of on him as a bit of a sleeper. He's been a little bit passive. I mean, his numbers here, they're not jumping off the page, but. I still think if you can get Zach LaVine in the 70s, that's pretty good value, and that's sort of where he's going. But I guess if you look at what they've done respectively, who would you rather at pick, I don't know, pick 75, would you rather Kobe White or would you rather Zach LaVine?
I'd still like neither of them. If I could get Miles Bridges there, I'll go back to that one. I'm taking Miles Bridges at 75. Geez, Mother Mary and Joseph. No, look, I think if I'm talking those guys, I would still take LaVine because I do know that if a major trade is to happen, But this is the converse. It's the opportunity factor that opens up. So if there is a Zach LaVine trade that does happen and he's moved, we do know that Coby White is going to be the heir apparent, the number one firecracker scorer for this team. So that lays that in, and we can pretty much see Vucevic go the way of the dodo in many ways. It's not that we haven't had stock in him, and it's not that we still think he's respectable enough at what he does, but obviously it's been Coby White's dream to come true for this team of his own volition, like you said, that is Coby White, and he's done it off the bench. He's had roles in the 22-23 season. The last month was cracking. Last year, I was on him to be a bit of a breakout player. He served me right. Good on him. But still, he did not finish top 75 last year. So to get that back, I'm curious. I'm more curious for the bench, though. Giddy, by the way, was fine. Like, Giddy was okay. Yeah. I still think, but man, I'm really into Jalen Smith and the booze bus, as I like to call him, Matsis Buzelis. This is the upside of these balls that we want to watch for. And oh, wait a second, here we go. Gibbo's on there. Yeah, Jalen Smith racked it up. So this is why we were talking about earlier on in the season that Jalen Smith is as a watch list guy. That's why. Because if Vooch goes down or is traded away, that is the full Sticks experience that you can expect this season.
Yeah, they both looked pretty good. And I mean, Patrick Williams is really, he's done nothing to convince me or anyone else that he should be a starting caliber player in the NBA. So I think Patrick Williams probably starts on opening night. But given the direction of the Bulls and the fact that they want to lean into their youth, I wouldn't be surprised if there comes a point where Buzelis moves into the starting lineup. And then likewise, Jalen Smith maybe coming in if there's a Vooch trade, or they just decide to sort of go more with that the future rather than the past. So, yeah, I think probably tough to draft them in standard leagues at the moment. But if I had to pick one of the two to take a last round flyer on, I think it might be Jalen Smith, just because he can play the four and the five. And I think that's where the minutes will be, where I think with Giddy, White and LaVine, they're sort of locked in for those 32, 33 minutes a night. So,
and then Lonzo Ball, Dosunmu, and then LaVine can press up, and that, Buzelis can.
So I just think there's more opportunity for someone that can play up rather than someone that can play down. And so,
agreed.
But I do think that they're both watch list guys, absolutely, and fingers crossed for Bulls fans, it doesn't take them too long to realize that they don't need Patrick Williams out there, and they can move on from Vooch and get someone else, anyone else.
Now, Cleveland's favorite son, Tristan Thompson, got 12 minutes of basketball. Just wanted to throw that out there. NBA Cleveland Cavaliers champion, Tristan Thompson. Yep. Let's not put any stock in that one, but Mobley was the storyline for me from that game. He looked great. The three blocks from Mobley was kind of why we're putting him in the third. But you're seeing him go in the 30s, very early 40s, 640 from the field. Loved his game. I would have liked to have seen probably a couple more rebounds, but still pulling down six boards in your 18 minutes was very, very good. And we saw a Darius Garland game with five assists to one turnover, which is very sexy, Kingy.
Yeah, I think... Mobley was the big one for me. And he just seemed far more aggressive offensively. He seemed to want to score. They were involving him. They weren't necessarily running plays for him, but they were clearing out and allowing him to do some work. He shot a couple of threes.
So, look,
the rebounds are never going to be what we want them to be as long as Jarrett Allen is there. They're both sort of borderline 10 rebounds per game. So it's hard for both of them to get. There'll be nights where he does get 13 or 14, but then he'll go and get five the next night or something. Yeah. So, I think Mobley, as you said, he's going in the 30s, early 40s at the moment. Yeah. I think if they continue with what it appears they're doing, he could push into the 20s. This could be the year that he sort of nudges that second round value. Garland, I thought he looked pretty good after a down season. We're just hoping that he can stay healthy this year and get back to the Garland that we saw 2-3 years ago before Donovan Mitchell arrived. So,
Donovan Mitchell, the same amount of minutes, by the way, is, geez, just that's there's your second round bloke. Like this was a guy who was flirting first round value last year. He's bloody good. Is Don, if you're Australian watching this show, you'll know what I'm saying. Is Don is good.
Is good. He is
good. Very is very good.
We do know what you're saying. All right, Cleveland, Charles. Who have we done? Who we got next? Detroit?
Pistons, Detroit.
Pistons. All right.
Yeah, Jaden Ivey, draft candidate? I put my hands up because this was a guy that last year, Kingy, I don't know about you, and I'm sure the people out there watching this right now, I'm sure everyone's thinking about it, and I want everyone just to close your eyes and sing Kumbaya. Don't sing Kumbaya. Just close your eyes and imagine those players that you were targeting last year that didn't work out for you. Don't just imagine last year's players. Imagine the players from 2 years ago. So not last season, the draft before. Those guys that you had your sights on, the rookies, the second-year sophomores, all these nuances and tropes that we come to in fantasy. I want you to think about those guys that you wanted to draft 2 years ago. And then they were not very good. And then you were like, I'm never going to draft these guys again. They burnt me. F them. Stuff them. And then what did they do last year? What did they do to you when you were watching those guys have really good performances and you didn't want to touch them and you're like, Jesus, Kobe fucking White. You know, like this is what Jaden Ivey has been promising. And if this can continue, he is going to be one of those guys. If you're like, Jesus, I should have taken bloody Jaden Ivey because he looked really good in two games now. Not one, but two games. He has looked very good.
Yeah, I think a new coach really helps Jaden Ivey because I think last year he didn't know his role. He was in and out of the starting lineup a little bit. And I think having Cade there really helps him because he doesn't have to play on the ball as much. And we're seeing he's sort of up there leading the team in scoring. He'll still get you sort of three or four assists. But I think he has to be on the radar as a flyer at the end.
Yep.
I mean, anyone that can get you sort of 17 points, four assists, two threes, he's good from the line, won't really get you a lot of defense, but at that point of a draft, who cares? He's looked really good. Jalen Duren has looked good.
Jalen Duren has looked very good.
Still hoping for the defense to come around a little bit, but other than that, his free throws look pretty good.
Yeah,
that was
a conversation I literally had on Josh Lloyd's pod the other day. We were talking about these guys, and I'm like, I think he's a good free throw shooter. And Josh mentioned like two seasons ago it was down, then last year it was up, and we're like, well, I think he could get to 800. He's actually been taking three a game at 833 in the preseason, and so this is a guy who has reformed his free throw, and maybe he is one of the I've worked on my shot and got better guys. So I don't look at him now as a net negative for the free throw percentage, especially with the field goal percentage that he offers. I don't think it can be plus 600 all the time. He's at 550 in the preseason. I mean, that's 550 in 23 minutes a night, but still 830, like that's to give you the idea. I mean, now it's not on the same volume. Jaden Ivey is the exact same free throw percentage in double the amount of attempts.
Yeah.
But to put it on par, that's pretty bloody good considering Cade Cunningham in less attempts is worse from the free throw line. So, I'm really liking Duren, and I can see him, again, do not expect blocks from him. Do not accept steals from him because that's what you might want a bigger man for, especially one that doesn't stretch the floor. But, man, the other two things are quite nice. Add in some rebounds and points. That's good. That's pretty bloody good.
Oh, kids in the background. Have a drink. I agree on Duren. Cunningham, on the other hand, hasn't looked great. Which
has he ever looked good in the preseason or early in an NBA season? Can I ask you?
No, I'm not disappointed because it does mean that he's going to be a nice value in drafts. Like people aren't going to watch this preseason and go, oh, we've got to be taking Cade in the 30s or the 20s. So I think there's still a bit of value there on Cade. In saying that, it would be nice to see him playing a bit better in the preseason. It would be nice. All right, who have we got next after Detroit?
Pacers. Indiana Pacers.
All right.
It's the Pacers with Mr. Quentin Jackson being the sleeper guy that we really want to get to. So we've got Quentin Jackson. We're really not experiencing the whole thing. We've only had one game of these guys. They literally rolled out the starters. The traditional NBA trope is let's play them for 12 minutes and then see where it goes. The biggest thing today was the bloody Rockets and OKC game. I know it was a Western Conference, but bloody hell, OKC looked great. And then I thought, okay, that's pretty much done. They pulled the starters. I look back and Houston's winning. I'm like, wait a second, what the bloody hell's going on? Like, and you start never seeing names. But Pascal Siakam, I'm not going to lie, his Pascal's looking pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, no, he looks good. I think he's looked fine. I think McConnell, he always looks good when he's out on the floor getting his little mid-rangers and assists and stuff. So we're not drafting him, but he'll be an elite streamer. And there'll be a point in the season, I can guarantee it, where he's a hot pickup because Halliburton's going to miss 2 weeks or something like that. So, don't go drafting him. Mathurin, I'm still not sold on him. He's inconsistent, and I do think he's going to have like a decent role this season. I think he'll be it's looking like he'll be the sixth man and probably play close to 30 a night. But I'd like to see some consistency from him in his scoring because that's really all he does.
I will counter that by saying that if you are in a very tight battle for free throw percentage and they're on a back-to-back to finish your week, if you're really solid in your field goal percentage because you don't know what Benedict's going to do there, this man will get you to the line 5 or 6 times a night in 25 minutes a night. He's already getting there in the one game. He played 20 minutes. He got to the free throw line 4 times, 100 from the field. This is a guy who can get you volume from the free throw line, which that's the rare thing, Kingy, for a waiver wire guy. It's the volume of which we get those free throws. Mathurin gets them in volume, can buoy you. And if you're looking at 10 free throws at the end of the week for a guy going 900 and you're really secure in your field goal percentage, Mathurin is a move you might want to make.
Yep, absolutely. Wiseman, don't worry about Wiseman. Turner's been injured, so we don't need to concern ourselves with Wiseman.
Do you like Nembhard? I thought Nembhard was impressive.
Yeah, look, I think he's all right. He's not someone I'm drafting. I think there's guys I'd rather take in that late round region. But I get it. If you want to, he's not for me. I think he's fine, but I still don't think he's that good. I think he's just overachieved a little bit. Right place at the right time. I could be wrong. But not a guy for me. Who's
Miami Heat?
Indiana?
Miami Heat.
Speaking of boring.
hey. Don't you disparage Khalil Ware like that. Thank you very much.
He is the exception, and I made that very clear on my post.
Okay, good. Thank you. I read your post, and I was like, let's get some love for Khalil Ware. This is a guy that we did see share a little bit of floor with Bam briefly, but the 4 blocks for him in 16 minutes was the thing that I saw. Like, the man went hunting, but he went hunting for defensive stats. He was like, I may not score a lot, but shit me, I'm going to impact the game. He got 6 stocks in the one game.
He did. Yeah. Wow. So when I think of, like, obviously you'd go, okay, I'd love him to start. I'd love him to play 30 minutes. Yep. He comes across to me as a guy, if we think back to Mitchell Robinson early in his career, when he had an elite block rate playing 20 minutes a night. I think that's what Khalil Ware will do. I think if you put him in there for 30 minutes, he'd have issues with either fouling out or he'd become more passive. As you said, he was hunting blocks, and that's hunting. Because he knows I'm only going to be out there for 20 minutes, so I've got 6 fouls. I'm just going to go looking for defensive stats. And I think this might be a case, at least initially while he's young, that him actually playing 20 minutes is better than him playing 30 minutes in some respect, because I think he's free to just chase those blocks down. Offensively, though, I think he's got far more upside than Mitchell Robinson. So if we think Mitchell
100%.
Robinson, but can shoot threes better from the free throw line, I wouldn't say he's great, but better. So, I still don't mind Khalil Ware as a late round flyer.
I don't mind that as well. But if you're in any one of the ball leagues here in Australia or overseas, if you are in Ball Page, anyone from Champs League down to the Z's and the letters and the alphabet we've never heard of before, just say hello in chat right now, because the big thing in Australia for many fantasy players, like over 500 guys, is the triple doubles are no longer a cat, but fouls are a cat in the ball page this year.
Okay.
And so fouls are a category. More fouls equals bad. Right. And so Khalil Ware is a guy that if you're looking to pick up with a very last minute draft spot, like, oh yeah, I'll grab Khalil Ware. Yeah, he might lose your fouls in the course of your week because the man, he's going to foul out of a lot of games.
He will. Yeah, he'll get three blocks and five fouls or something like that, like pretty regularly. So yeah, in most leagues, it doesn't matter, but obviously it does if fouls is a category. Look, outside of Ware,
Butler. Can I preach from about Butler for a second?
Sure.
Jimmy Butler has been going in drafts around 50. That's dumb. I think it's dumb. I think Jimmy Butler is a top 30 player when he is playing. He continues to play. He's just played in the preseason. He came with a relatively normal haircut and headband to media day.
He did. That was disappointing.
It was disappointing. Many people lost monies on the hairstyle. Across betting agencies across the world. But what we do get is we do get a regular Jimmy Butler who is engaged, who is there to play and to buoy his stock. And so us being risk adverse to Jimmy Butler, I don't think is a good move come our draft days. I think we should be looking at Jimmy Butler. I just picked him up in my last two drafts and I made note of this. Where was it? Here we go. My last two, I picked him up at 46 and 51.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It also came out that Butler's dad passed away last season. Thank you, Gibbo. And so this is a guy that we have been adversely not drafting. What are we doing? Letting Jimmy Butler slip down our board to the fact that he's 50s. He still returned top 25 value in his limited games last year with the unfortunate loss of his father.
Yeah, no, he's certainly one of those older guys that you can get value and... and look, I mean, the fact that he's playing the preseason
tells us that he's
healthy, which is, that's great. We know he's probably only going to play 60 games, not 70 or 75, but look, if you're getting him in the fourth round or even the fifth round, absolutely he's a value.
Merry Christmas.
And yes, it did come out today that his dad passed away. So that was revealed on the Starting Five documentary on Netflix, which I stayed up till about 1 a.m. watching this morning. So I was aware of that, and then I was tired this morning, and I'm going to finish watching it tonight, so I'll be tired again tomorrow. But that's
worth it. It's worth it for the love of the game.
It is. It's very good, actually. The five players they picked, it's quite a good cross-section, I think, of
it really is.
Egos and personas and things like that. So... yeah, it's well worth a look. If you do have Netflix and you're not aware of it, it's a 10-part documentary.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Or if you're not Khalil Ware about it.
Khalil Ware, there you go.
He's not one of the players in it, but I just... On the ball thank tonight. You.
No, he is not one of the players. Orlando? No.
Orlando?
New York.
Or Milwaukee? Is it Milwaukee first?
Oh, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee is the Bucks. Yeah, the Bucks. I guess who gives a buck? Really? Come on. Damian Lillard, let's say right now, if he's falling into your third round, which we have seen a trajectory of him falling late 20s. Actually, I did have the recent ADP data up. I should just bring that back here to check it where he's on the Yahoo latest draft. Damian Lillard, again, he's gone up to 22.8. So he's gone towards the back of the second round. He's fallen from 23 into 22.8 recently. This is good. Here we go. I've got up the recent data. This was the thing that I found embarrassing. I bought this up to bring up Lillard when we got here. His average ADP is 29. Now, that means that he has gone exactly at ESPN at 27.64. He's moved into 22.7. So he's actually slipped slightly since the last rankings in Yahoo, according to the RotoWire Live. He has fallen down in underdog drafts at 36. And Fantrax has him fair and square at 24. If you're in an auction league, he's going for about $25, but signifying down value. Look, last year, like Butler, an off year, he had a divorce going on in the background. He had a lot of personal shit. Man, didn't he? He looked really good. He looked really good the other day.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the box score, you're going to go, 15 points. But he basically didn't miss the first quarter. He just looked on fire. I think he's having now, because I mean, you have to think back to last year or last season. He didn't know he was playing for the Bucks until I think it was like 2 or 3 days before training camp. So
yeah,
he had he and his family, like there was a whole lot going on in the background. This year, full off season, Giannis has been there, healthy, they're training, they're working together. So yeah, I think Lillard is a really nice, solid back end of the second round player.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So that's really good. And we have points, a question. We have a Bucks question.
Oh, hello. Here we go. What is Middleton's – geez, you're really making me work for my money tonight, Gibbo. Not that we even get money from this. His average ADP across all networks, Gibbo. Oh, when you're ready. He's there. G'day, when you. He gets over all over the place. Gibbo, his ADP average is 97. It's dropped in ESPN leagues to 106. It is 101 in Yahoo. He is one of these players that are like the – I have this like breaking the sound barrier in fantasy is like breaking the top 100. So it's like, King, I don't know about you, but there's the top 100 guys and there's the guys after the 100. And Middleton just seems to have slipped behind that slightly. It reflected with 101. And on Fantrax, he's at 97. So look, fair value for him there. I have him projected in around that. But look, I like Middleton. I like Middleton. He's safe as houses if he can play the right amount of games. Gibbo? So if that double ankle cleanup is a good thing for him, I think it is. And you can probably draft him quite confidently around there and see a bit of a return come your draft day, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you can get him around 100, that's fine. I wouldn't want to be reaching up because of the risk. But, yeah, look, there's certainly a case that you draft him at 100 and he ends up being a top 60 is probably best case. I don't think he's getting back to top 40 Middleton that he was. Especially with Dame there now.
Agreed.
So top 60, top 70 best case. But yeah, I think anywhere outside the top 100, absolutely fine. And we have another question.
Yeah, from When You Ready. I picked up Josh Hart at 126 I call it the Loffy, just as a nickname. Surely he got a great chance to crack the top 100 if he gets to start. Yes, it looks like he will potentially start as well. They did run him out there as a starter the other day. When you look, I am a Josh Hart truther. I love that guy. But the one thing that I made a comment on this on X the other day, we draft Josh Hart for rebounds, but when you've got a team that's now got Cat as a center, that's got OG Anunoby who loves to rebound out of position, Mikal Bridges is an active rebounder. Do we see as many rebounds from Josh Hart? I don't know if we can project him the same way. And if his shot's not going to be there, look, he looked really good at the end of the season in the Knicks. He looked happy. Look, I think you've got a chance for return on value, but I wouldn't be saying it's an incredibly high return when you. I think about 100 could be 100 to 110 could be a very fair, but I think you'll see a return on your value at taking about 126 no matter what. I think you've got a value pick there, mate, 100%. What about you? Kingy?
Yeah, I think so. Getting him at 126 is a no-brainer. Even if he's not going to hit those sort of numbers from last year, he's still going to get you 7.5 to 8 rebounds. And from the guard spot, that's invaluable.
That's really
and,
good.
And we saw, yeah, we know the scoring. He's probably going to be the fourth or fifth option if he's starting. So expect 10 points, 11 points, I don't know, something like that. But
yeah.
I think we saw last year a little bit of an element to his game we hadn't seen before, and that was the assists. He had a few triple-doubles. Yeah. He's obviously not Brunson's there, Cat's there now. So he's not going to be sort of an 8 or 9 assist player, but he could get you 4 assists
and a steal
and a 3. And so you add all of that together and, yeah, you've got a top 100 player. So I think absolutely at 126 that, yeah, you're not – his floor is relatively safe, that you're not really going to regret that at all.
Yep. Not 100. He won't. I don't think he'll slip behind 120-ish. Like he'll have some moments where you think about. You will say, as being again a Josh Hart truther and having picked him up and drafted him, there will be moments that you have to consider very seriously about dropping Josh Hart or packaging him in a trade. But you can't get what he brings off the waiver wire after you do such things. So, but he is. No. Look, I think he will equip. I think he'll by season end he will eclipse that value. Orlando, the Magic. Talk to me about Paolo Banchero, your favorite player of all time.
I don't know how that happened. I know it's interesting, actually. I've been listening to some of the RotoWire shows and just other shows and people talking about Paolo and do we take him in the second round? Could we take him before then? I'm like, dudes, I was taking him at 40 and getting crucified.
You got murdered.
And now they're talking about taking him at 30. Yeah, look, the Magic, I think, again, they're pretty much running it back. They've got KCP basically sort of replacing Gary Harris in the starting lineup.
That's true.
Probably, if we're looking at takeaways, I mean, Wendell Carter was injured, so Goga started today and looked pretty good. We know if he plays 22 minutes, he's going to get your blocks. He'll be efficient. He'll get rebounds. But there's really no clarity around that center spot at the moment. I'm assuming Wendell Carter will start to open the season.
And they just threw they just threw that contract to him as they did. So
Although listening to the one of the RotoWire shows with Brandon Kravitz yesterday, and he's an Orlando guy, and he is of the opinion that they potentially signed that contract because it's a friendly contract.
It is
with a view to he is now easy to move. So if we want to move him, he's on a team friendly contract. So that is also something to watch. I think Jalen Suggs is playing point guard, but they've got three or four guys there that can handle the ball. So he could get to 5 assists. Anthony Black's been interesting though. He's looked pretty good.
I like Anthony Black. He looked good last night in his limited last year in his limited run with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a funny one, but I think probably the biggest takeaway, and this is what I said, what I look for in the preseason is rotations. And it appears he's ahead of Cole Anthony in the rotation. Yeah. I don't know whether that sticks or not, but it's something to monitor for sure.
It is. And even seeing Jonathan Isaac run out there for 8 minutes in the preseason was good. It's like if you look at their roster, they've rolled out every single person who owns an Orlando Magic jersey. I think there's two players, including Mac McClung, who just walked into the fan shop, who was there as a fan. And they said, hey, you've got an NBA contract. Just want to jump on the field for a few minutes. Because they've run out a whole bunch of guys. Look at their options. Even guys like Jarrett Culver, who we invested in like a few years ago, drafted to the Minnesota Timberwolves, I believe, is out there running around. I think they're running it back, but I definitely think that they're looking for that second wave of guys to come off the bench, like to come off the bench to complement your Cole Anthony's. And Jet Howard has been getting a lot of extra run as well. They're really giving these young guys a bit of a burn to see what they can do and look what they can do, either packaging these guys for more talent, because we know they were hunting. They went out and got KCP. We know that it was either going to be KCP or Clay Thompson that they wanted to bring in. So I think there's package guys around in this team, and I'm really curious to see how they go running it back.
Philly, they're next. I'm right there, aren't I? Surely there's not many teams left.
I think there's three.
Three. Philly, Raptors, Wizards. That's right.
Oh, the last two are very quick. I think it's Yabusele, I think, has proven his stock as a last round flyer for some people, especially in your deeper leagues. We didn't really see any minutes from the guys we wanted to see minutes from Philly. So I don't know. I mean, Kyle Lowry even played in the preseason, which surprised me. Reggie Jackson got minutes out there in the preseason. But if we're like Tyrese Maxey played 12 minutes. There was no Embiid, no Paul George, I don't believe. Kelly Oubre did Kelly Oubre things. Let's see how they play next time. Toronto. Big Dick Energy, the BDE. That was fun to watch, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, I think he's going to be in for a decent role this season, which is exciting. Always good to see more Dick out there. So, we haven't seen RJ. A lot of RJ because of his shoulder. I think pretty sure it's a shoulder sprain, something like that.
But in 14 minutes, he just set the world on fire the other day, though. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
What he does.
I don't know. Would you take him inside the top 100?
I wouldn't. But I've seen him starting. I've seen him go on an amazing fantasy journey of anywhere between I think the earliest I've seen him was like 78 or 81. It was like around that zone. I remember thinking like, holy shit, that's early. But I was looking at him late in the – look, I was looking at him late in the 90s, and then – but, geez, in the 100s, again, how many people post 100 will average 20 points a game this year? Three, four, at best. And he's actually cheekily improved his efficiency. And I love that for him. So for me, he's actually not a bad shout. So I definitely like him as an option this year. But again, we did see this without it quickly. I was actually curious for Poeltl, who's been a bit of a sleeper. And I know that you love your big centers and you can draft up to eight of them in any one league at one time.
Yep.
Poeltl looked good. They ran him out there for 20 minutes. He didn't get the blocks that we want to see, but mate, yeah, he looked okay.
He did, yeah. He's every season he flies under the radar a bit, but you can 100%. Get him late. You can get him after Mark Williams, Jalen Duren, Walker Kessler, all these guys. Poeltl is typically available in the 80s and 90s. I like what I saw from him. Kelly Olynyk did his thing. I mean, we know if he gets minutes, he'll put up numbers. We just don't know how they're going to utilize him. But, I like what I saw from Barrett. Hopefully we'll see quickly in their next game. I don't know what their plan is. They might even play tomorrow, do they? I don't even know.
I think it is tomorrow. Do you want to bring up the schedule? I think it is tomorrow.
What day is it?
It was like 2 days off. I think it's Thursday in the States. They've got the no, it's not tomorrow. They've got the next game tomorrow. On Friday.
It must be the next day.
Yeah, it is. It's the next game versus the Wizards again. Because I knew it was a backup against the team they've already played. So it was a bit of a home and home.
And there's a seamless transition into the Wizards.
Just how we planned it. Perfect.
I think if we're talking Wizards, we're talking Alex Saar, aren't we?
Alex Saar. I went out and I was happily to say, let's not drink the Kool-Aid of Alex Saar yet. People are going to get really hyped on this bloke. Now, the blocks, really nice. Averaging two a game. I love that. And I'm going to give credit where credit's due. But people, if you're reaching now inside the top 100 for Alex Saar, you need to see your doctor and or any one of the mental health specialists across Australia. And I'm not even joking about that. Please seek assistance because you're addicted to fantasy in a bad way. And reach out because Alex Saar is a top 100 player. I don't see it. And I've even seen people saying, do we now take him in the fourth and fifth round? And that's absolutely insane bonkers to me, mate. Like he's been good, but is he top 50 good? There's no chance in hell.
I doubt it. I mean, I guess there's a pathway to him being a little bit Walker Kessler-y. Like if we think back 2 years ago, Kessler was really high in terms of pure rank just because of the block numbers. Like if he gets to 2.5 blocks, yes, he could be top 50 because that elevates your rank so much. But if we're just looking at this holistically, he's looked really good, but he looked bad in summer league. So, I mean, it's two games. I think they're obviously fully invested in him. He's going to start at the four.
Yep.
It doesn't look like there's really going to be any competition for minutes.
Where are you comfortable taking him? Let me ask, where are you comfortable? If I'm going to give you the draft wide open in any, and let's talk one of our competitive leagues, like the league Team World versus Team Philippines. I'm talking in a competitive league. Where are you going to be comfortable taking him? What's your magic Saar number?
In a standard, because it's a 16-team league, so it's a deeper league. So he'll absolutely be drafted in that league. If we're talking about a 12-team league, sort of 13, 14 roster spots, so 150 or 160 deep, I'd probably take him probably after 120.
Yep, that's my magic number. 120 is my magic number too. Yep.
120 is usually my magic number because that's 10 roster spots in a 12-team league. So then you're up to your bench. I think after 120, based on what we've seen, he's not going to be as efficient as he has been. I mean, we saw him in the NBL last year and he wasn't this efficient. So
he was not this good in the NBL last year.
No. Jordan Poole, there is a comment, which I think you popped that up before, didn't you?
I did. 2010 season.
We both tried to do it then at the same time. That's what happens when we're both hosting a show together.
You do it. You push the button. You push the magic button.
I'll push the button. Okay. Poole will have a comeback season, 20 and 10 average. Well,
let's go.
All right.
Love that. No. I said, love that, Nicholas. I love the balls on Nicholas thinking, I don't think 10 assists is a league leader, but I definitely see him. I love the bounce back potential for him. Like I said,
this on 20 points. Absolutely. I can see him averaging 20 points.
Oh, yeah.
10 assists, I'm not so sure, but could he get to 7? Maybe.
I have him at 8. I have him up to eight max, 6 bottom. So I have a 6 to 8. So that's like my window for the mate. So I'm happy at 7 there, but I think he can go anywhere from 6.5 up to 8 at the best. I actually see the steal creeping in the game. I actually see him getting a bit of lurky. Percentages down, high free throws. But I do have probably Jordan Poole. I probably am a little bit higher than him when he's going outside. He was going outside. We had questions about ADP. I'll just go down to his ADPs because he's gone on an absolutely bloody wild road, wild ride. He has come down to 93.5 in Yahoo. He is actually, fuck me, ESPN. I don't know what people do when they draft on ESPN. I think there's a lot of people who are drunk and just don't look at it. It might have to do with the ranking system. He's actually slipped down in ADP to 101 now. So yeah. Jordan Poole has now slipped outside. And this is punters drafting. He's a respectable 81.9. So basically 82 on fan tracks. And I sit comfortably with him at 80 in any draft. And we'll be very fine with that.
Yep. Yeah, 80's fine. 100, absolutely fine. Yep. But yeah, I think if you can get him in at 80, and as we've said, he's going to be 20 points, 7 assists. Probably a steal. I think he fudges his way to about a steal a game, and the free throws are elite. So
100% elite free throws.
Absolutely agree there. So we got through the Eastern Conference.
Jeez,
well done. Lucky we didn't endeavor to do the whole NBA because
good chat though. Good questions. Thanks, team. Draft strategies. Should we wrap it up with draft strategies, Kingy?
Yeah, let's quickly touch on draft strategies. So this was just, and we won't go too long on this one because I've got a documentary to go and watch. But
so do I.
So hopefully a lot of our viewers do as well. You mentioned to me today when we were talking on the phone about the whole push for punting points. It seems to be a strategy that a lot of analysts are high on this season, myself included. I like the idea of it. Dan Vesperus, who is not typically a punt head-to-head kind of guy, he loves the punt points strategy. And the reason being is that it's probably the most influential category to punt in terms of the resulting draft board. So when you punt points, it really flips the draft board.
It does.
Which is why I think it's a really unique strategy. But with everyone pushing it as a strategy, have we gone, like, are we at that point now where, hey, if everyone's punting points, do I do the opposite now?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I said to you. I'm like, hey, look, if everyone's starting to do it, because I think, again, like in fantasy world, we all become very intenured on like the latest hype or the latest number one pick, like Wembanyama. And in the punt points, Wembanyama is still the number one pick by a lot of consensus boards as well. So that doesn't change. It does shift your boards around a little bit. Not so much at the top, but at the top, guys like Fred VanVleet and Chet Holmgren and these guys that we said aren't first round, they kind of move into first round. And the antithesis of this is guys who are starting to see first round like result as like, I want to get all the points, like in Anthony Edwards talking about your starting five documentary. This is where Anthony Edwards and people, I saw him drafted at 8 the other day. And I was like, what are you doing? What are we doing him at number 8? Now they must be punting points. Sorry, they must be like punting points after that because they're just trying to get some off the board early and lean into it. But I think when we start to lean too heavily, or a lot of people start doing the same strategy in our drafts, we set ourselves up for one, a really sweaty, anxious, stressful draft. And we sometimes overlook other things that we might miss out on if we stick to a strategy. Like we might be so anchored to this bias, that this confirmation bias, that I need to make this one punt, which takes away from what we do in fantasy, which is changing as we draft and moving our strategies as we need to. So I just don't think we need to. I think we can go in with a punt points build, but then when we start to see guys who are left there with points, we should definitely be grabbing guys like this in our drafts, Kingy.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's and punting points, funnily enough, is not a strategy that I've used a lot in the past, and I'm using it a bit more this year.
You punt everything. You punt,
and I do.
I punt everything.
I just made a draft pick in a live draft that I'm doing right now, so I'm not
going to put it
on the screen, but it's a I think it's a 16 team league. Hang on then.
Give the people what they want. If you're in chat right now and want to see what King is doing live in a draft, let's go for it.
Let me go.
I want to see what are you drafting? What are you punting this time? Sanity?
So is it's that a category in this? Hopefully no one in the draft is watching. So it's a 16-team league, and you can see me there in the middle. Shit break, that's me. American Pie reference there. So I'm picking at pick 10 in a 16-team league, third round reversal. My team so far, you'll be able to tell me what I'm punting when you see my team. Trey Young, De'Aaron Fox, Emmanuel Quickley, Cam Thomas, Isaiah Hartenstein, Colin Sexton. So that's my...
You are punting rebounds.
I am punting rebounds.
You are looking to consolidate your field goal percentage with Isaiah Hartenstein. You're looking to buoy that pick because he's also an excellent and underrated passer. Sexton is giving you a little bit of points. You are punting steals as well.
Punting rebounds, punting blocks. And punting field goal percentage. So Hartenstein really, the only reason I took Hartenstein there in the fifth round was because I need a center. I've got to fill my center spot, and he gets assists.
Yes, he does.
His free throws are all right. He's not going to drag me down. So that's really the only reason that I took him there, because now my center spot is done. So, went pretty early on Cam Thomas because he could lead the league in scoring. He's going to try at least. Really just leaning into points, threes, assists, steals is what I need to shore up now.
Fox and you would have been, were you a little bit pissed off there that Murray took Drew Holiday just before you?
Yeah, I was looking at Holiday. But we'll see coming back to me who I can get.
I know who's in this. I know who's in your queue. I know who's already in your queue in this one. I know who's in your queue.
I don't have a queue. I never. My queue is always in my head. But yes, I do have a queue in my head.
I know your queue. Dyson Daniels.
he's there. Don't worry. I won't be taking him next. We're up to 91 now. So I'm. Although people know I like him, and I might have.
They
to
do
take
know
him
you there. Like him. No, I don't think you take him there. I don't think you take him there.
Yeah.
Is Alex Caruso still on the board for your next pick?
Yes, he is. Yep.
I'd be looking at Caruso.
Yeah, it'll depend who's there. Caruso, Daniels is there. Amen Thompson is in my queue as well.
OG Ananobi about?
OG's gone.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Jalen Suggs? Some Suggs action?
Yeah, Suggs would be another one. As I've said multiple times, you can actually get steals late this year. Tyus Jones is there as well. But to take those guys, a lot of them, like Suggs, Caruso, Daniels, even Marcus Smart, they're not going to get you points. So you need to get your points early, and then you can try and rack up those some assists and steals later. But anyway, we went off topic. But yes, punting points. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a good question. Like, do you go, okay, well, I'm not going to punt points. There we go. Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask this when you're ready. I need to know if this is the same guy, because there was a lovely guy. Are you the guy because we're in a live chat, are you in Mally's? He was sending some screenshots the other day of the lovely things that you said. And Kingy, he rated you very much as well when you're ready. Are you NZ Gorkman? Is that your drafting name in the lo-fi bot, in the lo-fi? Is that you? Because this bloke, Kingy, the other day was in there. He found out that Mally was from the Insight team. So shout out to Maddie Mally. And he was saying very lovely things about you, about me, after the cameo on Lloyd's show the other day. He was like, oh, I love Kingy and I love Maddie and that. So, yeah, I just want to know if he is NZ Gorkman. And I know exactly what he's punting. And that's everything. He is punting his grandma, and he is going to try and trade her and his two daughters during the course of the season to win it, because that's all Mally does is just trade. He just lives for a trade, mate. That's all he does.
That's what we like to see, people taking fantasy way too seriously.
Oh, it's, the man, he's just like us, mate. It's in his DNA. He absolutely loves his fantasy.
Yeah, it's lovely to see. I'm going to let you go because I'm going to go.
You got to go.
I don't have to go, but I'd like to go and watch. These episodes are all about 45 minutes long, so I want to try and bang it out tonight and work from home tomorrow. There you go. There's your answer. So
you lovely human being for saying such lovely things about me and Kingy and Mally. Yes, Mally is the most buff guy on in fantasy as well. He works out. We should do that more. And we should work out and leave the show. Give us all your plugs for all your stuff, Kingy, because you're doing a crap load.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing as much as you guys at the moment. But yes, this is obviously back. So this will be every Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Our time, very early Thursday morning in the US. So this is back. I've got my daily tweets already started. I just couldn't hold off anymore. So I'm doing them for the preseason. So they'll continue for the rest of the season. My daily show is going to start. I was going to start it soon, but I'm probably going to wait till the season starts. So probably opening night, I'll be doing a daily show, just breaking down all the games, probably live. I think I'll do it live on Twitter and YouTube most nights. Yep. So that'll be good. World Cup, I think, is full now. I'm pretty sure I've seen B-Dub sending stuff around saying that it is full. So he's waiting for people to register.
That's really, thank you, because I've got to do, that's a good shout. I've got to hit the email return to that one. It's been a very busy day.
Yeah. If you didn't get into the World Cup and you would like to, feel free to hit me up or hit B-Dub up, and because there will undoubtedly be people who registered but won't actually register. So they registered interest but won't register for the league. Let us know. I think all the drafts are sort of happening in the next couple of days because they're slow drafts. So they need to start because we're only, 12 days, 11 days away from the start of the season. Between Two Dans, we'll be back, I think, next week. It's tough locking down Dan Bespris and Dan Titus and Dan Palio during the preseason because they're all very busy people.
They are.
So a lot of content coming up, and as with Insight, I know you guys have got a lot coming out as well.
Man, almost daily stuff, man. We're really blessed to be having some wonderful human beings like yourself and doing some really great shows. We have a show coming up tomorrow. Josh Lloyd's jumping on as a bit of a guest, which is lovely of him for a bit of a home and home. So we've got him coming up on the show. Got Dan Titus the day after. We've got our guard tiers where we've been recording this show. Mally, funnily enough, and Skitty have been in the lab doing our shooting guard tiers. We've got draft picks from 1 to 14 coming up. We've got a 20-man mega mock draft live on Sunday afternoon as well, which is in honor of Ball Page and our partnership with them. So we've got a 20-man live mega mock coming up. So yeah, man, heaps of stuff coming. Just keep it locked onto all things at Insight Fantasy Sports. I'll give the updates through my gear as well. And mate, NBA is on the way, Kingy.
It is. Very close, almost too close, I think. I don't know if we're ready. We've been doing mock drafts for 2 months, so we can't really make excuses for ourselves. I've got guys in my league saying, "Oh, have you done any drafts yet?" And I'm like, I've done a few.
I've done a few. We've been way too many drafts. There has been
way too many. Yep.
I have been, I think, at least 5 to 6 drafts a week, minimal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot.
As
I said, I think I've got 6 drafts happening at the moment, real drafts. And then that's almost slow drafts. And then the live sort of 1 hour, 90 minute drafts all kick off this weekend. I've got 2 or 3. And then the next weekend, I think I've got 4 in 1 day or something. I don't know. It's,
jeez.
Yeah, it's stupid. But
that's a lot. That's a lot, anyway, mate. That's a lot.
It is. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to go.
Thank you, man. Go watch the show.
I will. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back next week. I'm Adam King. He's G. This has been The Crossover. Until next time, stay classy.
Oh, San Diego.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.